la 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that
good evening, Bahamas. And welcome to Garden Radio 96.9, a wonderful station that gives you the latest information, latest sports update, and we talk a lot of gossip and we change the country. I want to say special thanks to my producer tonight, Wally. He's been off for about 2-3 weeks, but his intern, April, did a fantastic job as a sitting producer. Our telephone numbers tonight on Garden Radio are 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, and you can text us at 422-GR96. I am your host, Valentino Braun. I am the host of the talk show, Inside the Inner City, that comes on Garden Radio every Friday, except holidays, from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we have a lot of wonderful topics. We have a lot of callers who call in to give their point of view. We talk reality. We talk about solutions that can help change the country. And we also talk about the invisible stuff that we are getting to find out that are actually not so invisible. Okay? I want to say thanks to all the listening audience for tuning in to Garden Radio on Inside in the City, and to all the drivers who are driving on the streets. You know, we had a lot of rain just now. The streets are filled with water. Drive with utmost caution and care. There are a lot of potholes around town, so be careful. You could burst your tire during this heavy rain. Also, you know, it's not visible, you know, because of the draft, you know, you're going to see on the windshield, so you got to be very careful about that. You could run in the back of somebody while you're driving, so have a dry cloth close by, or if you have your AC, and, you know, turn your AC on and clean the smudge off the glass, and just drive with utmost care and caution and get home safely. Wow. Today on Inside in the City, you know, like I say, we like to talk about the invisible stuff also. So today we're going to talk about entitlement. And then we're going to talk about, I saw a Facebook message where we had the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas along with Lady Cheryl Wilson and Sir Frankie Wilson and a few others who left Nassau, New Providence to the USA, where they presented or received a Dr. King and Sir Randall Fox picture. I want to discuss that. Earlier today, I heard Mr. Miller and Ms. Nuri had a wonderful conversation concerning the matter. So I would just like to add something on to it and go from there. But before we get to that, that's going to be in the second half. When I say entitlement. When I say entitlement, right, I don't know how true. I saw a little flick on Facebook, a little comment from the new Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, Honorable Brave Davis. He was kind of very disturbed. If the comment is true, I don't know how true it is. I don't know how authentic it is, but I saw it on one or two people on Facebook. But the comment itself is very interesting. So let me try to explain it the best way I can and interpret it the best way I can, how I see it. Okay. You know, like when you're lobbying to be a leader of the country, you know, you meet a lot of people. So as opposition leader, you meet a lot of people, you know, as you travel the country, you travel family islands, you travel in the inner city community, you travel outside the inner city community, and you meet a lot of people. Some you might not speak to personally. Some you might get introduced from someone who's close to you. and, you know, they probably frown upon, or, you know, they feel like working with you during you being an opposition leader, that if things work out and they do a little bit of more jobbing on the radio or do a little more jobbing for the party, and you yourself as the opposition leader around the country, and, you know, they entitled to certain benefits if you succeed, if you become the prime minister of the country. Now, as opposition leader, it's your job to be around people, hear their concerns, and et cetera. But there's also some people want something in return. When you become prime minister, many of those commitments, if you gave your word, you're not going to be able to fulfill. In some cases, you don't even have to give your word. Some people just think because you become the prime minister and they see you, they talk to you once or twice, and they have a connection to somebody, that you're obligated to give them something back in return once you become the prime minister. So I was reading something from the prime minister, and he stated that, you know, it's quite interesting. He said that becoming the leader of the country, that many people are coming to see him now, and they're looking for something in return. So he finds this interesting, you know, because now that you're the prime minister, there are many people who want to sit down and talk with you, but they don't come there looking to congratulate you or to, you know, be happy for you. Yeah, they're happy and they congratulate you, but they come there to talk to you and see if they could get you to say something in your mouth that is going to be gratified to them, that they will get something in return. As the prime minister, it's a near impossible task because you're dealing with thousands and thousands of people, and you're going to have many people who come to you who say they know you, make presentation, looking for contracts and stuff like that. But who can tell me, how could one man of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas or members of parliament in each constituency can give everyone a contract in a constituency or in the country? How is this possible? You know, I've been listening, and all I've been hearing is, oh, Brave is a good man, get your business license, and et cetera. Are you guys crazy? With the 10 to 11 million debt we have right now, with the 30% unemployment, according to the Minister of Labor, right now, and it's way over that of unemployment in the country, all right? With the 19 to 20 months of the COVID-19, which has basically destroyed the economy, and we barely get pennies to go around even to feed the people. Evidence, C.B. Moss has been doing a feeding program for the last 19 months. The singing bishop launched Roll Down in the Grove have been doing a feeding program for the 19 months. Organization that I'm affiliated with, Lenahan Bahamas, has been doing a program for 19 months. There are many different organizations, small groups, that have been feeding the people in this country. If you look at the videos with C.B. Moss, you'd see people lining up from one end of his church to around the corner. If you look at Lawrence Roll, you can see the people behind him standing in the streets in a long line, probably wrapping around the next corner, looking for something to eat or looking for some type of grocery in our country. Okay? Some of you, by the statement the prime minister is saying, you know, he finds it disturbing. And the thing is, right, some of these people are deserving or are getting, you know, entitlement. Some are not deserving of getting entitlement. You know, and we have to be very careful, because there's no way in the world that the prime minister or the government of the country is going to be able to give everyone contract. And this is a contract everyone's looking for. They want to clean up streets. They want to clean schools and all that. How many people do you think can do that? Okay? You know what I mean? And if they don't get these contracts, they'd be saying bad things about the prime minister, but the prime minister's more important things to deal with. The prime minister has to find a way to try to stabilize the country's economy, right? He already made the commitment of the free testing, you know. We heard Dr. Darwell stating that it would not be mandatory to take the COVID-19 vaccination. It's people's choice. These are good decisions. You know, he's finding ways to reduce rot. I think that bill is coming either in November or December. He is right now, I think, setting up a new budget for late November. Just trying to find a way how we could probably get some in the budget to give certain persons some entitlement that they truly deserve. For those who are greedy, meaning they only want the contract to feed their family, you know, some guys would get, I'd say, good contracts. The producer's not here right at the moment. He stepped out for a second, so he'd be back, and we take your call if you can hang on. So, like I said, you know, we have to be very careful. You know, he has to be able to help the Bahamian people. You know, he just can't help everyone by giving them entitlement. It doesn't work like that. Some are going to get entitlement. Some are going to be disappointed. And that's just the way how it is. Yeah. So he was very disturbed. So many people, I guess, and many persons who he never see before or had acquaintance are visiting him and asking him for special privilege. And I want to give him this advice. Be very careful on who you surround yourself with, Mr. Prime Minister, because everyone there is not your friend. They're not your friend. And the minute you can't give them what they want, they'd be spreading all kind of propaganda about you and your party. And be careful who you empower. Be very careful who you empower, because it could come back to bite you. Make sure the person who you're empowering is a person who you feel you can trust, a trustworthy person to the Bahamian people, and honest, and a person with integrity. Let me give you a little prime example of what I'm talking about when you empower people. Okay. This invisible stuff that I'm talking about. If you read between the lines, you would see where the former Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Hubert Alexander Ingram. Okay? He was making a statement, and let me read it. And he says, here, let me read a statement that's coming up right now. I like to read and read between the lines so I can have a show for the audience so that you can use your brain and figure out if I'm talking in any sense. Okay, here it goes. Former Prime Minister Hubert Ingram said he finds it fascinating that people are still questioning whether Free National Movement FNM leader Dr. Hubert Minnis will attempt to remain as leader when it's clear as day that a new leader will emerge during the party's convention next month. Ingram spoke to reporters after he reviewed the body of veteran hoteler J. Barry Farrington at the Senate on Friday morning. And he said he finds it fascinating that people are asking that question. When asked for his thoughts on whether Minnis should seek re-election, he says it's clear today that the current leader of the FNM will no longer be leader of the FNM after convention on November 27. And he has already told us he is not running for the office anymore. The body has determined it will hold a one-day convention with the sole purpose of electing a new leader. That's what is going to happen. I shall be there, God's willing, and so will others in the party. after a September 22 meeting of the party's FNM chairman, Carl Kalmato, reporters that Menace will stay on as leader until a new leader is elected at the convention. However, former Prime Minister Menace has evaded question in recent weeks over whether he will seek re-election. I'm going to hold a thought right there, and then I'm going to take this call and see what the caller has to say. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the Inner City. Good day, Mr. Brown. Hey, Scoochie, what's going on?
Everything's all right.
You know what it says, right?
Yeah, I hear another voice.
Yeah.
Tiger.
Yeah, you see? Hey, I must say, the beginning of your show, the Constitution do say that the Bahamian people are entitled to certain things. You know,
I'm not talking about that entitlement.
I know.
I'm not talking about that entitlement.
I understand. And I also want to bring to your attention that the Prime Minister, present Prime Minister, is not obligated to do anything personal for nobody.
Yes.
But he is entitled to make sure that the country is governed with integrity and move towards proper and prosperous development.
Yes.
That's our reason for electing him and electing this party.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But on that same note, I want to emphasize the truth that so far, you got to give the BLT their credit because, you know, the Southern Recreation Grant, which you always saying that is government are continual. And I think the Over the Hill initiative is a construed project from the Urban Renewal 2.0, urban development plan.
Yes.
And so I say that to say, I was happy to see that. I call it Satan Show, right, Scoochie?
Mm-hmm.
Me and your boy, the constitutional man, what do you mean, Mr.
Thompson?
Yeah, yesterday. I said, man, they have to push growing up so bad in the entire recreation of Vietnam. I was coming down to hail you. But when I was passing the bar, I said, let me stop by my daughter, you know, and she said, daddy, you break it. She can't do any orders.
Yeah,
so I didn't come and hail you no more because, you know, I had paper in my pocket.
I want you to come pasteurize me, man. I want you to come hail me, bro.
I was going to talk to you for a little 50 or something. You know, you was brand new up there. I must say, excellent community leader, you know, in Border. I mean, in A Street, Lewis Street area, and being in Grandstown, you know, and you doing a good job, but I was happy to see that the government respond so fast. They put me in the park. You see the softball field?
Yeah, big. I saw it. I saw it coming on my way. Continuous.
I was happy to see that, you know, at least the grass didn't plant yet. But that's a small thing.
But CMC working on it.
Yeah, but it's a good thing to know that the government ain't, like, forsake Over the Hill initiative.
No, they can't. I won't say they can't. First of all, it started in 2012, 2013 under the administration of Mr. Christie and Deputy Leader Brave Davis. Okay, so it started them as the Urban Design Lab. Then under Minister administration, when he came to office, he named it the Over the Hill Initiative. This is continuous. That was a plan put forward by the University of the Bahamas, myself, the Office of the Prime Minister, the IDB Bank, Dougaligans, Amanda Culston, Yuli Wogus, and many other persons contributed to a perfect plan to redevelop not only the inner city community, but the docks and tie it in. And that is the plan. That's a perfect plan on giving housing, small business development, clean up the community, and et cetera, and et cetera. Yes, my brother.
Yeah, and I was happy to understand that the government, also this present government, like they say, they ain't got too much, like, rush, you know, let me stop the street talk. Like Alexandra Miller, so obviously learn to talk properly so everyone can understand.
Makes sense.
But, like, I was happy to see that they in interfering with like with the previous government, like Laughing Place, particularly the you know the downtown the port. You know, they letting the project go and the Minister of Work. I must give it to him, Alfred Stairs, you know what I mean? And too much, like, trying to cancel and stop and, you know, being spiteful, you know, and getting rid of contractors or and stuff like that, you know? And so we must give them their credit,
It's looking and smooth. It's looking smooth.
Yeah, it's looking smooth. And if they should continue to do this, what they're doing, I think...
Staying humble.
That's good. That's the right word.
Staying humble.
I think they will have a hard run against projected leader. I know my experience with him. I mean, Shenandoah Cartwright, they can have a hard run with him.
Well, you know, like I say, you know, Tiger, it's about the people right now. Our election is over. It's about us now. People are sleeping in cars. People are out of their apartment. Their light is off. Some people don't have water. Some don't have toilet. Some people don't have food. Many people can't pay their bills. Kids can't go to school because they don't own tennis and et cetera. And kids who are home of the COVID-19 pandemic, they are overweight. They are miserable. If you look around the street, you'd see kids all over the streets at all hours of the day. So we are in serious problem.
And on that same note, you know, it is important for us to encourage and that to put the minister name, the Minister of Social Social Service, Minister Obi Wurscombe, that he don't like stop the you know, the feeding program. You know what I mean? Because you gotta be honest, the former prime minister, he tried. And you know, I say I listen to people try to beat him up. He did a lot of. He helped for the development of this country. And if we be honest, we have to praise God and thank the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, for his goodness towards the Bahamas.
Of course.
That's when we check store. So Len Thompson, Lennon, Oscar Penglin, you know, set the solid foundation. Just based on our constitution, making us a light of the world. Right? And Hubert Ingram, you know. And even Perry Christie too, a lot of good things.
Why are you laughing when you say Perry Christie?
No, I laugh because people always trying to beat him up.
I could talk about some of the stuff he did later on in the show.
Man, he just...
I will talk about it.
Yeah, but even less... But let's be honest too, even if you look at Dr. Hubert Minnis, you know, from he came in power, he said, man, I want Hubert to over the hill. And he started the Over the Hill initiative.
He should continue.
Yeah, and he, you know, he said, now, look here, we can't do the poor people too bad.
But he does bad.
He said, we got to make sure they eat. No, and the Hollow Rescue and them, the feeding project, that was a good thing.
But we must remember, Tiger, what any government official does, that is our own money that he's spending to put the project ahead.
I mean,
you understand?
The truth is, the Bahamas is not perfect, but we have God has blessed us with
decent
and good prime minister. And even right now, that's why our expectation is so high towards the honorable Braves, right honorable Braves.
Yeah,
because we used to, you know, prime ministers falling off a little bit, but we used to them doing things.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So we don't look for nothing less now that we have this new government.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I write or wrong.
You're right.
Yeah,
right.
We don't look for nothing less. And we look for things to get better.
And this is a joke what someone said to me the other day, and people just notice and come up with their own like jokes. Someone said to me, listen to this, Wally, say, you know something? Say, Perry, say, so Lyndon Penland was short. Say, Perry Christie was short, right? Hubert Ingram was short. Nah, Brave David Shaw. The only tall one is the honest minister, you see? You understand?
And he's supposed to see more than all of them. No, but I must say that.
Yeah, but.
Dr. Hubert Minnis made an immense.
Yes, Tiger.
I mean, an immense contribution.
Yes.
You know, under the development of the country.
Yeah, but I.
He fall off when he tried to come against the church. That's when he gone wrong.
When he got try to come against everybody. Not only the church.
When he tried to take to the church.
Yeah, well, Tiger, we get two more minutes after Ari go.
But it's always a joy to talk to you. And look here,
hey.
As it relates to this COVID-19 situation, we got to continue to encourage the people to, like, you know, to when you go home after you had a whole day outside.
When you go outside or to work,
wherever you were, put a little bleach on your bed towel with your soap and totally cleanse yourself and, you know, and relax. As I said, and catch the cool air and give God thanks for the day. And thank God for guiding and protecting us.
Thank you. Yes, Tiger. Thank you very much. And before my good friend Tiger, who made some good comments just now, we were talking about, menace. So I was referring to the fact, you got to be careful on who you're in power. And I was reading a statement on Facebook that the former prime minister of the country, who served three times, and it seems to me that former prime minister, now lead of the opposition, is only going to do a one term as prime minister. Now, this is going to be the first time in the history of the country that we're going to have a one-time prime minister. One-time prime minister, but he has never given a shot to try and regain the prime minister to do a two-term so he could get your pension. So we had Sedin did 5 times. After him, Ingram did 3 times. He did 2 consecutive, 1992 to 1997. Then he came back and won again. Perry Glasson and Christie won 2 single election. But he was qualified to get his pension. Now we have Menace, who's the leader of the opposition now, and he only gets 1 shot, seems to be. Now, I noticed that when you never lose an election, and even though you lose an election, that'd be your first time lose as a sitting prime minister, so you should be able to be the opposition leader again, and then you would be the one leading up to the next general election. In this case, I guess the whole party has decided, and those with the humiliating defeat at the polls and what is being said on the media, that the leader of the opposition currently, come convention, according to former Prime Minister Ingram, stating that there will be a new leader of the Free National Movement. Now, why I'm saying all this? Now, I want you to be very careful. See, this is where we go wrong as Bahamians, and this is why we have to be very careful who we empower. The Bible tells us this. Remember a few years ago, it was Hubert Ingram, Tommy Tonkress, Randall McCartney before Mr. McCartney followed, Mr. Russell, and et cetera, was the big people in the Free National Movement when they were the government of the country, Loretta Politerno. And in a power struggle, when former Prime Minister Ingram was deciding to step out of politics when he stepped out, resigning, he handpicked Menace, despite having Tommy Tonkress, Loretta Butler, senior members of the party and senior politicians. He bypassed all of those and selected Menace as the man to replace him. Not only did he make him opposition leader, he gave him all his delegates. He told his delegates to vote for Menace at the convention. He told all the starting council to vote for Menace. This was all the former prime minister. Now he bypassed Loretta, he bypassed Tommy Tonkress, all these people. And he went to someone who he feels would lead the country and take the country forward. Now, he wasn't wrong, but I read between the lines, and we stink, and we are ungrateful, and we are traitorous. Many of us are traitors. We bite the hand that feed us. Who help us to get where we is? And the minute we get where we is, we abandon those integrity, honesty, and respect. He bypassed all, and there was a big row in the party. And they came in the show and they said it. Many, four, five, six years ago. They said it. And then Menace was successful and becoming leader of the opposition and leader of the party. Now, these two titles that he accomplished, not of his own merit, but the merit of the former prime minister, Ingram, who handpicked him, over all those other people. So you can imagine how Loretta feel, you can imagine how Tommy feel. So they kept quiet, and the transition took place. Now listen closely. The minute the guy succeeds in winning the general election, the guy who helped him, who gave him his startled counsels, the delegates in the party to support him, and et cetera, he said, "What is one more? This is the invisible stuff. The Ingram era is over." Now, think about that. What you call it, box stopping? What do you call it? What do you call that? Integrity? What do you call that? Was it right? Could you imagine? How do you, I think he gave Ingram a heart attack, probably when he heard it. Because I sure when he's on the nose and he heard that, he can believe that was the man who he helped, pushed, supported, make him a minister. To say something like that. So I guess when he saw it on TV, he couldn't believe that. I can imagine his wife, who was my teacher, Mr. Lawrence Ingram, teach me at D.W. Davis, one of the greatest persons, lady you could ever meet. Teach me a lot. Could you imagine that? That's us as behemoths. And that's people who you help, who you think down with you, who you feel is the right person. So picking between the lines. Now, before the general election, there was a Facebook ad going out where they had the Honorable Hubert Ingram endorsing the upcoming election. But the Prime Minister said someone hacked his site and that someone used his name inappropriately and it was not him. So when I heard that, I said, wow, it's close to the election. Why would the former Prime Minister, why he ain't endorsed that? Because I still would endorse it because I know that I'm a free national movement, I'm a former leader. I want to see the party succeed. But why would he say, it was not me who said that? I'm effing him, but I'm not endorsing that. So all this start to ting up. Then I listen, I see on Facebook, on the news, where he was dark, when he's, he was supporting Dwayne Sands and saying he support him. So when I said he's supporting Dwayne Sands, I say, hold on now. He's supposed to be supporting the leader of the party because, you know, Dwayne Sands ain't getting no power. What he could do, he's just a member. So how could you be supporting him unless you want him to get in his seat? But when I listen closely, it seems, he said that Dwayne Sands could be the next leader of the Free National Movement. So yeah, now they're saying, look like Ingram know that the Free National Movement is going to lose the general election and then they're going to push Dwayne Sands, if he win the seat, to be the next leader of the Free National Movement. But it didn't work out the way Dwayne Sands lost his seat also. And the Free National Movement got slaughtered to the polls. So when they say that, so that's infighting. A person that someone loved, trust, turned their back on that person, That person sit down quietly and wait for the opportunity, now is the opportunity. And that statement he made when he said that come convention, me and some other people is going to be here, and he's not going to be leader of the body. So that's crazy. So it shows you that if you didn't use your intervention and see there was a problem between Hubert Ingram and former, former Prime Minister Hubert Alexander Ingram and former Prime Minister Hubert Alexander Menace. There was a problem, and Ingram has a right to feel that way. Now he has a chance to out Menace, because at the end of the day, Ingram was a powerful man. He served 3 consecutive terms. He empowered many people in the party. And when you're saying the Ingram era is over, that means you went after many persons who were associated with Ingram, and you went and tried to wipe them out. But Ingram is an icon, and he's fighting back. So that's all I have to say. So, Mr. Davis, to you, on what you said about some people feel entitlement, watch the snakes, stay the course, put your focus on trying to get the country economy right, put your focus on housing, put your focus on small businesses, put your focus on the over the initiative, and you would see some great success. So you can't help everyone. Some of us are going to have to help ourselves. Okay, I just want to say that. So I hope you enjoyed that part of the conversation. You know, that was a very good conversation. I hope everyone understand it. And that's the truth I was speaking. Okay, and let me just say this part about when my good friend Tiger, who just calling on the radio, we go way, way back. We go way back. That's my good friend. And he's annoying to me. He always messing with me, but he's a good friend. If someone got your back, he got your back. There's a few of them I have, like, you know, they don't have nothing much. But, you know, we all come up together, and I'm still trying to gain strength so I can empower my community, empower myself, and empower my friends like them. But the only way I'm going to be able to do that, if I was able to empower myself, which I'm doing right now. We're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Good night, good night.
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, Mr. Brown, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Great, great. I heard you just now, but I wanna shed a little light on what you were saying, right?
Go ahead, sir.
But I know it's a whole person. Normally, in these times when you want to identify the true reason why certain things happen,
yes, sir.
I want you, as you are doing an excellent job as you move forward in your life, so people won't deceive you.
Yes, sir.
I want you to, a lot of times, study your Bible very carefully.
I do.
And look at the signs of time.
Yes, yes.
I want you to always remember those words.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Let me explain to you what I mean.
Go ahead.
Now, I heard you said that former Prime Minister Hubert Ingram, and you made a comparison with Hubert Menace.
Yes.
Right? Now, you define that as a betrayal. Now, let me explain to you what a betrayal is.
Mm-hmm.
A betrayal is not that the betrayal is something that you would classify as, you will be able to identify point blank the exact wrong that was done against the person.
Mm.
The exact wrong, not the fact that you allowed me to go with you while you stole someone's vehicle, you gave the vehicle to me, you shared the money with me, to you, I'm your friend.
Mm.
I want you to be careful with that sort of, not you personally, just generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to understand not because you share your wrong with me. Only me and you may know that. But in the public, when they see us rowing, they may say, boy, that man treated that man well. And look what he's doing to him. Watch this now. The Bible always says that the man knows what he had done wrong, even though he may not confess it. His heart knows that what he did was wrong.
Yeah.
Now, the only person you can really call a true friend in life is a person who tells you when you're doing wrong, not one who engage in the wrongdoing along with you. I want you to remember that.
Yes, sir.
Now, why you have to be careful with that sort of insight, and persons who are older than you or younger may be able to influence you to think that that is the right way. You got to understand one thing. God don't need to intervene in two wrong doings. The fact is they're going to destroy one another eventually.
Yes.
They're going to destroy one another eventually. So he needs to just stand back and watch them. Because what is going to happen most of the time when a kingdom falls? It doesn't fall because an outside enemy caused it to fall.
Internal.
Right. Yes, thank you. Internal. You're getting what I'm saying.
Yes, internal.
They say internal things that are held to their heart and it's supposed to be a secret.
Yes.
And when that secret sometimes becomes boiling over, to the point where, you know, I say, you know what, I tired of my friend doing wrong. I tired him playing on his wife. I sick of him. And it gets so awful. You may say, look here, man, I am going to tell your wife what you did all these years. I am sick of it.
Sweet and hard all the time.
Pardon?
They were sweet and hard all the time, and the friend knew it. I only joking. Right.
And guess what?
Yeah.
When the public sees it, they say, boy, they were friends for many years, and look what he has
I get you.
So I want you,
as you're doing
a good show, I don't want you to these people who are fighting against one another.
Yeah.
Both of them knows why.
Trust me. Internal. Yes.
They cannot personally say.
Yeah.
Let's just use Ingram. Ingram cannot personally say that it's a personal wrong with ministered against him. I don't favor none of them. To be honest with you, I don't favor none.
Right? I feel you.
Ingram cannot personally say, look here, this man did me wrong. But Ingram could probably say this and be right.
Yeah.
Ingram could say this and be right. He can say that, look here, man. You know, matters of how I gave you that position, I gave it to you. Listen to that wording.
Yes.
Matters of how I gave it to you.
I listen. I read. That's why I say I read it. I read it.
I
read you the lines.
When I snatch it out somebody's hand and tell you run to the back of the room like you throw a ball and hit the net.
Yeah.
Even if I snatch out this hand and throw it to you, you caught it. So don't tell me I didn't throw it to you. I caused you to make that point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So I want you. That's why I use the word study your Bible carefully.
Yes.
Friends are not people who call themselves your friend.
Yeah.
And will see you go and do somebody wrong
and
cover for you. They are not your friend.
Yes, sir. I get you.
The persons who say to you, look here, Mr. Brown, I ain't gonna say it in the public, but sit down, let me talk to you.
Yes.
I ain't gonna cause you to get locked up, and I ain't gonna embarrass you, but I'm gonna tell you you were wrong.
Yes, sir.
And that's the kind of people you most close to you. Not the fellow who can see you steal, rob, rape, and then tell other people, oh, this is my friend because he's covering me. He could never cover you. You know why? In order for him to cover you, he would have to be able to protect your life. And only God can protect your life and your health and your well-being.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So I thank you very much and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And continue to do well and always read your Bible.
Yes, sir.
Have a nice day. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That was a very, very good conversation, just now. Thank you very much. And that's why I love to have this show, because I like to be open. I like for callers to call in, you know, because like I said, it's a point of view that I'm saying. So I like other people to interject, because that's how we have a conversation. And that's how we need to be as leaders in the country. You know, we could listen to our next person and give you advice. And that's what it's about, you know, and he was quite right. Yes. So That's my interpretation about it. And the gentleman did an excellent job explaining it from his point of view, and it makes sense, even to me. Okay. Yes. Earlier today, it's 7:15 now, so I just wanted to take it to this part of the show where we would talk about the Prime Minister, Representative Martin Luther King Jr. National Memorial Project Fund Foundation with a national gift from the people of the Bahamas on the occasion of the 10th anniversary of the founding of the memorial located on at 1964 Southwest Independence Avenue in Washington, D.C. You know, in attendance are Hale Harper, former Bahamas Senate President, Sharon Wilson, Lady Cheryl Wilson, Bahamas First Lady Anna Maria Davis, the wife of Brave Davis, U.S. Representative from California, 43rd Congressional District, Maxine Waters, who has Bahamian roots, President and CEO of Martin Luther King Jr. National Memorial Project Foundation, Attorney Harry E. Johnson, Sir Senior, Bahamas Prime Minister, Honorable Brave E. Davis, Philip E. Davis. So, Sparky, if you listen, yes. Minister, the Honorable Philip E. Davis, and Chairman of Sunshine Holding Limited, Sir Frankie Wilson. I want to talk a little about Dr. King. And before we do that, I just want to mention, I want to talk real good, real fast about this. Okay, earlier today, I tuned in the Guardian Radio, because, I was paying my restaurant. It's coming along very well. Should be finished time. It's December, God's willing. Hope I'll be living and to see it finished. Been a long, hard journey, but I'm almost there. Never give up on your dreams. It might be tough, slow, painful, stressful, but never give up the faith. Yeah, so I want to talk a little bit of that. Earlier today, I heard Mr. Miller, Levon Miller, who does an extremely wonderful job on Guardian Radio. He had my good friend, Dr. Cecil Nuri, in studios, and they were talking about the Dr. King. And they saw a picture with Dr. King and Sir Randall Fox, who Sir Randall is the minister who created labor for us. He created all kind of job for us. You know, he fought for all Bahamians in the country, whether you're nurses, doctors, guys working on the side of the road, garbage truck collectors, and et cetera. He fought for guys to have gloves and proper sanitation equipment, for people to increase, the government to increase wages and et cetera, better living conditions and et cetera, better working conditions, et cetera. He was fighting for with the same thing, the white people, white Bahamians who were living here, hot. The best set of equipment. He wanted the block also to have the best of the equipment and et cetera. And he fought for us. He is a national hero. He is one of the architects of the new Bahamas. He fought for us. Yes. So I listened to the show. There was a discussion where Mr. Miller was saying that he was wondering if the family of Sir Randall knew that the picture that is showcased in Washington, D.C., that was presented on the venture of the National Memorial Project Foundation as a gift. That picture where you'd see Dr. King and Sir Randall looking at one another, talking, two great civil rights leaders in the country, one in the U.S. and one in the Bahamas. It shows you the ties we have with the U.S. and the Bahamas, but also Jamaica and Haiti back in the days. And like I said, I listened to them, and they were saying, they was wondering if the family of Sir Randall knew and was benefiting on the fact that their father's face was in Washington, D.C., and the Bahamas government was making a presentation. Those distinguished name I called earlier, Lady Cheryl Wilson, Sir Frankie Wilson, Anna, First Lady, Mrs. Davis, et cetera. They were there present, but we didn't see nobody from Sir Randall's family there in attendance. So Mr. Miller brought up a great conversation, and he was wondering if they knew why wasn't they present to make this presentation on behalf of the Bahamas and the Bahamian people, and why, you know, I don't know if they were going to talk with Sir Randall's family. I think they should have. I don't know if it's last minute, or even the Prime Minister just could have probably knew about it. You know, like I tell you, he gets briefed from the Permanent Secretary on his travel. These things he is just luring in about. Like I said, government is continuous. The Permanent Secretary and those former assistants in the Office of the Prime Minister is the one who teach him how things run in the Office of the Prime Minister. So it's just him finding a seat, and they're teaching him, and he's learning about the Office of the Prime Minister. Government is continuous, okay? Parties are for 5 years until they regain the government again. Parties become opposition leaders, and parties become government. Yeah. So I hope that the government reach out to Sir Randall's family. If not, it's not right for you to make a presentation with someone family member who has contributed greatly to the country, unless there was some kind of communication made. But I can't say that maybe it was. But any case, that picture that you guys see, where we see Rave Davis making that presentation that you see, that came out the book called The Fate That Moved the Mountain, that was written by Sir Randall. And that particular picture was given to the late, great Dr. Rita Pratt, Henderson Pratt, who just passed away no longer than a month ago. That was given to Rita Henderson Pratt from Sir Randall's family. The wife of Sir Randall passed away a few months ago, and we was working closely with Rosalie Fox. And that picture that you see, that came with the book, Fate That Moves the Mountain. But that particular picture that you see, that was lost for 50 years in the history of the Bahamas. That was recently discovered in 2013, 2014, where we brought history back up in this country about that same particular picture and the contribution that Sir Randall made to the country and the contribution that Dr. King made here to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Let me explain. The late, great Mr. John Panza is a senior elderly person that used to reside in the Grandstand community of Lewis Street, Hay Street, and Taylor Street. I knew him from when I was a baby. He was the one who knew about the history of the area, and the struggles for independence, struggles for a one black government, struggle for equality, justice for all. He was present. And in the community that I reside in, it's the birthplace for the revolution of the Progressive Liberal Party, Grandstand, Southern Recreation Grand, Mason Edition, Bantan, yes. So let me see where I can start. It was history from what was taught to me from the late, great Dr. Rita Henderson Pratt. She teach me this. She told me first, let me start with Mr. Panza. I was talking about the history of the area and that my cousin gave to me when he said Dr. Robert Love frequent the area. That Marcus Garvey, Jamaican icon Marcus Garvey, also stayed in Lewis Street. And he started telling me, you know, stories that Dr. King and et cetera visited Lewis Creek. So I went on radio. I think it was Sadness News. I think it was with the current member of Parliament now, Juan Miller. Well, I can't remember if it was Debbie Bartlett, but Gems Radio, tell it like it is. But anyway, I made the presentation. They talk about the history of the area. And then I heard Dr. Rita Pratt, she came and she spoke to me and asked me, tell me some more about the area. And I said, if I'm going to tell you more about the area, then I want to tell you who told me. and I gave her the information that the late, great Mr. Panza gave to me. And I told her the story he gave to me about Dr. King's visit to the Bahamas, his first visit in 1958. So Sunday, I was coming off the basketball court, and on my way from the court, I meet Mr. Panza sitting down on Lewis Street on his property. And he called me, and he said that he see me change around my life. I'm trying to be a good community leader. I'm trying to be an outstanding citizen. And he said to me, you want to make change for your community? You want your community to get better? You want it to be empowered? You want to know how historic this community is? And if you use this right, you can make this into something that is desirable, where you could have tourists come over the hill, and you could help empower your people with small job opportunity and small businesses in the community. So I say, okay, sir. So that's why I say it's always good to be respectful to the elders. So he sit me down. He said, you have about an hour? I said, okay, Mr. Panza, hour. I said, boy, what hour? But I was intrigued. I said, wow, I'm so tired. I right now I'm going home and chill out and watch some football or basketball. So my mind blocked. I said, okay, so Mr. Panza. So he said, listen. He said, cross the road there, 1927, Marcus Garvey was in this community. And he gave a speech to that church. Then he said, down the road there, my Uncle Jeffrey Simmons told me that Dr. Robert Love, who is one of the first black preachers and had a degree in the whole entire hemisphere, went to St. Agnes Church. Then he said, down the road there in 1958, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. came to the Bahamas and he stayed 3 days through Lewis Street. So I said, wow. He said, 1958, yes, I was a certain age, and he came down here. And round the corner there, Sir Randall Fox, I live around the corner where Peabody Bakery is. So I said, right where I left? He said, yeah, right around the corner. Sir Randall live around there. And the host, Ray, you have to figure it. I'm not going to show you. I'm just going to point in that direction. Now, you use your head, you use your instinct, and you can find those. He said, the host down there is where Dr. King came to the Bahamas and stayed for 3 days. And he said, you want to know why Dr. King came to the Bahamas? Dr. King came to the Bahamas because Sir Randall was fighting for the Bahamian people on the conditions. And he had his conditions, so he was bound with the peace, and he got brought before the court for treason. And he said, treason means hang for against the state. It was the British government in power. This is before independence. This is the British government. So he said, Sir Randall fed, and he knew he had a brother. They're fighting for the same cause, but he's fighting in the U.S. But I'm fighting here in the Bahamas. Both of them are civil rights leaders. Both of them are great civil rights leaders. So Sir Randall fed for his life, sent a letter to, in the United States of America, to Atlanta, to Dr. Martin Luther King, if he could come to the Bahamas and assist him with his case. So I said, wow. I said, it's big. So he said, Dr. King stated and said he's coming here to support Sir Randall to the courts when his case start. So the case was supposed to start in a few days or whatever, et cetera. So Dr. King made preparation to leave from the United States of America to come assist his brother, Sir Randall, here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. On knowing that Dr. King was leaving the United States of America because Dr. King was the number one civil rights leader, most talked about person in the whole entire world. And the press was following him everywhere. So now he is coming to the Bahamas to fight for a similar cause, someone who's just like him, fighting for the same causes, what he's fighting for in the United States of America. We have a man here in the name of Sir Randall Fox, the chief of labor, needs his assistance before the court, and his life is in jeopardy. So he sent a letter. He had a disguise saying, while it's up blue, to let you know that he is coming to town. While it's up blue is a signal to let those know that he's leaving the U.S. and coming to the Bahamas, because these are his words that he used to protect himself. This was a secret code because he had to be careful. He would not, his life was in danger, and he was trying to avoid assassination. As evident, you saw him get assassinated later on in life. And he came on his way, coming to the Bahamas, getting ready to touch down in the Bahamas. the media caught hold of it, the British administration caught hold of it, that he was coming to the Bahamas, and immediately, effectively, Sir Ronald Fox was acquitted of his discharge and was a free man before Dr. King feet hit Nassau, New Providence. So, in turn, his presence alone is what helped Sir Ronald. So when he came to the Bahamas, he was not allowed to go into the Sheraton British Hotel. Like I said, it was the British. This was the racism time. It's not this time. And he was not allowed to stay in the Sheraton British only Hotel because it was all white exclusive. So he said he wants to go with his brothers and sisters. And that community was Grunstein, Lewis Street, where I stayed, where I'm currently living right now. So he was invited into the community. And when he was in the community, he went by Sir Ronald Fox's home, which was around the corner. And that street name is McPherson Street, named after S.E. McPherson, the school. And it's named McPherson Street. Because McPherson stayed around in the area also. So he left him there. And then there was this home related to the name. I got his name in my head. He's in the book. He stayed by a related name. This is the best home in the community. You know, houses were wooden, but this was the man who did well. So he had a stone house. So this was the best, like, stone house in the community, the best house, one of the best houses in the community. So Dr. King bought his bikes and et cetera, and he stayed to Lewis Street for 3 days in 1958. Yes. And the community treated him well. And he stayed there and he mixed and mingled. He was walking all through the community with thousands of people behind him, walking to the fort and castle where Sir Ronald's father, I think, father lived. They had two homes. Yes, correct. So I saw Mr. Miller read the same particular letter. So I'm going to read one from the 4th of December, 1958. This one was written by Dr. King. And I'm going to read the next one written by Mr. Fox. And this is the one that I found out when me and Rita Pratt was doing the research. I said, this proves that he was in Nassau, New Providence, because we're trying to figure out and have the proof. And here it states December 15, 1958, and then December 4th, 1958. So this is when I said to Ms. Rita Pratt, this is the connection that let us know that he was present in Nassau, and this is his first visit, because people had a problem with him landing on what island it is. They have one island they have where Dr. King is, Lucho or whatever. His very first visit, visiting the Carmel of the Bahamas in 1958. The other visit was when the PLP and Mr. Brown from the church on Main Street invited him to come down and support the getting-ness of black people, support Sir Lyndon, support Marlow B. Butler. Okay, so let me just read this real quick. Okay. 4th December, 1958. This is Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was the president of the Montgomery Improvement Association, Montgomery, Alabama. My dear brother King, I am writing on behalf of the Bahamas Federation of Labor to tell you how much we enjoyed having you. Hold on, this is Ronald? Yeah, hold on, get it mixed up. All right. Yeah, right, this is Ronald, excuse me. This is Mr. Ronald. I am writing on behalf of the Bahamas Federation of Labor. This is Ronald writing to Dr. King. I am writing you on behalf of the Bahamas Federation of Labor to tell you how much we enjoyed having you visit our hall on Tuesday, the 25th of November, 1958. The 25th of November, 1958. Those other visit came in the 1960s. All right? Meeting you and hearing you address the members was an unforgettable experience for all of us. It means more to us than any amount of financial gain. Perhaps you would visit us again. Until then, may God bless you. Thank you, Sir Randall F. Fox, President. Okay? Now, this is Dr. King's response to Sir Randall's letter. Sir Randall sent his letter on December 4th, 1958. Now, this is December 15, 1958. Dear Mr. Fox, this is just a note to acknowledge receipt of your very kind letter. I, too, was greatly helped by my visit to Nassau. I will long remember the expression of genuine goodwill and moral support on the part of the people of your community. The community he was talking about was Lewis Street and Fort Fincastle. Okay? He stayed 3 days to Lewis Street. So this was Mr. Ponza was to give me ideal information. So he stayed through there for 3 days through Lewis Creek. Okay? He said, please allow me to again express my personal appreciation to you for your determination, courage, and dedication to the cause of freedom and human dignity. I am sure that your name will live long in the annals of your nation's history for your willingness to suffer and sacrifice for a cause that you know is right. I hope I will have an opportunity to visit Nassau again in the near too distant future. Please extend my best wishes to all of the kind people that I met there. Wow. And that's the people in Lewis Creek. And that's in 1952. And me and Ms. Pratt, from the information we got from Sir Randall's family, we were able to put this together. Ms. Pratt now is deceased, and her book is called Evidence of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Visit to the Bahamas, Civil Rights Work in the Bahamas. And this goes deep. This book is all over the world. This book is in the African, Bahamian, African, American, African, Caribbean Museum Research Center and the Heritage Institute. That's where this book is. Ms. Pratt left in 2016, 2015, I guess, presented this book. So there's two books, Faith That Moved the Mountain, Sir Randall's, and then it's here, Evidence of Dr. King Jr.'s First Visit to the Bahamas and his works that he did here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Now, I got this information, Mr. Ponza, he's now deceased. I went and got Ms. Pratt to do the research. She went and she did all the research, and I want to say thanks to the folks family, and I'm saying to the general public out there. We saw where the Prime Minister went in Washington, D.C., Lady Sherrill Wilson, Frankie Wilson. We have our own Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. site and Sir Randall Fox site, Rachel, sanctioned by the Antiquities and Monuments and the U.S. Embassy. The first time the U.S. Embassy ever left the U.S. Embassy and set foot in an inner-city community was in 2014 when they came to dedicate and open the historical site on Lewis Street of Dr. King's visit here to the Bahamas. So it was all done. So that's what I'm working on, a plan to bring tourists in the area. I'm trying to work my way to develop the community with tourist stops, tourist attraction. And slowly but surely, I'm gaining some traction. It's hard work, getting the right support. Slow, but we're moving. So to say to myself, watch how powerful Sir Randall Fox is. Just how I laugh when people don't know the history. Sir Randall, after being acquitted, him and Dr. King got quite cool because they have something in common. Guess what they have in common? They're the same person fighting for the same cause. And here's the story. Would you believe Sir Randall was teaching Dr. King on how to do civil rights work? Would you believe that Dr. King was able to learn our system and was able to take some of that knowledge we got from learning off Sir Randall and took it back to the United States and fought for equal rights and justice in the United States of America. But most importantly, they don't tell you this story. I know all the story, Ms. Rita Pratt teach me well, and I read well. Dr. King himself were encouraging women, him and black women, to vote for a one black government. And that's how he was invited back on numerous occasions after 1958 to come and speak to the labor union, to the PLP rallies. They don't tell you these things. But he was actually on the government ground, and I read where you said he was where he was. He spoke at the Bahamas Federation of Labor. So that tells you he was moving through the inner city community. He was going where Bahamian strong men were and was looking for that inspiration. And he was an inspiration to them. He was speaking on the government ground, now we call Archbishop William Thompson Park. That's the park now that the Overdale Initiative and the government now currently is trying to complete. And that is one of the first parks that we went to have our rallies and to get the people together. Yes, Bahamian people. So I just want to say that to the general public. We have already established our own historical site in the country. But antiquities and monuments of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and the U.S. Embassy. And I have the book right here. I have the book, pictures, everything. And I'm the one in charge of it now. So I'm pushing it. What I'm going to do with this? I'm looking in the near future to see if it's possible that try and purchase that particular house and get some artifacts from Sir Randall's family. And we're going to put that same picture up. And then we're going to put all the community leaders up in that building, what we're turning into a museum. And in that museum, we'd put D.W. Davis, Timothy Gibson, who did the national anthem, Archbishop William Thompson, you know, all those who came out of the community, who gave back, all those streets named like Lewis Street. Who was Mr. Lewis? All those are persons who fought for equal rights and justice. You know, when my friend Tiger was talking earlier about Sir Lyndon Pinlan, about him being the one who, no, sir. There are hundreds of people who were before Sir Lyndon who were fighting for a cause, same thing as Sir Lyndon. You know, black men back in the days, they would support a young stuff growing up. And Sir Lyndon was a young guy. Those older guys like D.W. Davis, R.M. Bailey, L.W. Young, they were architect leaders. They were not politicians. Besides, I think it was Stephen Dillett. He's the first member of parliament. And he was a Haitian national. But he himself was the first person, black person elected to the parliament. And he was a Haitian national. But he was here in Nassau, New Providence, fighting for equal rights and justice for all Bahamians here. So I want to see if I'd be able to purchase it, if I get the right finances, work with government. If I didn't work with government, I'd find a private sponsor. I hope the owners them agree, you know, to sell it so it could be beneficial to the community. And that's how we could bring tourists in to know who, like I say, L.W. Young, C.R. Walker. You know, we could put pictures up to Lyndon Pinlan, you know. We could put your pictures up to former premier, to Roland Simonet, and give the history of all this stuff, you know, and have it there. And that'd be a tourist attraction as Sir Randall and Dr. King standing to the front on the poster. And then when you enter, we'd have a computer down there and we say, this is D.W. Davis, the school D.W. Davis named after him. He was a civil rights leader. This is what he contributed. This is why we named the school after him. This could be good for the younger generation of students in preschool, junior high school, and primary school to know their history. And then we want to find all the civil rights leader and put them in this museum, would have been named after Sir Randall and Dr. King. And that, besides that, I'm also developing my restaurant. We're looking to develop all of the old houses on Lewis Street, and we're going to turn them into something constructive. One, we're looking to turn in a mini scroll market so we get a tourist attraction. One, we're looking to have a rest stop where you get your Wi-Fi for the tourists when they come in our community. There should be a spot they can get the tea, the coffee, they can sit down, charge up there, sell the phone or their computer, and this would be a spot where they can locate when they come in Lewis Creek. They only tell five, so we have the community open from 6 to 5 p.m. because of safety precaution, because in the day we could manage the community. It's only in one square block. So we want to have an influx of tourists coming out of the community. Stop to my restaurant, stop to the local bars, stop to the mini scroll market we were building, stop to the enormous little small stores we have on the side of the road, like hair salons and et cetera. So I'm encouraging and reawakening. And this is how we're going to empower our community. And this is a plan that was given to me from God. And I promised Ms. Pratt that I'd make sure of a monument with her and Mr. Punza, and that I'm going to fight and I'm going to make the Dr. King and Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. King and Sir Ronald Day, like how we have Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. celebration on his birthday in January. But we're going to have two celebrations, Dr. King, and we're going to have surrounding the celebration in the Grandstand community in Lewis Creek. And that's what I'm working on, you know. So, yes, we have a historical site. So that's the history right there. So when you look at the Prime Minister going away, and that same picture, that picture we made famous. We made that famous. Former Prime Minister Perry Gladstone Christie went to Atlanta, and he went on the Walk of Fame. He went on the same book here. You know? So when asked the question, asked if Sir Ronald's family knew about it, I wouldn't be surprised, and I'm not going to criticize this government. Like I said, it could be in short notice. I know that the Department of Secretary sets up all appointments for the Prime Minister. I don't know if he or she had enough time to send an invitation. But if they did not do it, the right thing they need to do is to go and find the family and give them some type of plaque or some kind of assurance that in the near future we can contact them, because this is bigger than us. You know, we have our own civil rights leader in the United States of America now, and this is Rita Pratt's work. She is passed away now, and I'm going to keep this going. That is Rita Pratt's work, what you see. That is Rita Pratt. That is Mr. Punza's work that they told me. I gave it to Rita Pratt. And it's my work as well. And I'll be damn in hell if I let any government or anyone take it away from the community, because I'm turning it over to the community. It's going to benefit the community. It's going to create a lot of small business opportunities. Could you imagine what carvers, hair braiders, nail technician, all in the tourism industry. And we're going to have an influx of customers, which is only 300 steps away from my community. Basically, it's only 300 steps away from my community. And you're trying to tell me, but it's high unemployment right now. You're trying to tell me we can't make this work. I know it could work because tourists come in our community. As I speak now, the community only needs a tourist attraction. And this museum is going to be one. My restaurant is going to be, the local bars are going to be one. And if we get the chance to build that mini scroll market, we're going to be able to start off at least 50 small businesses that is going to turn out in about 1 year with an influx of tourists who are customers, and they'd be spending American dollars in our community. Those 50 business owners would be hundreds and thousands within a year. And then we'd have small, break-off small businesses, like guys who are selling coconut water. You know, some guys would be selling fruits. You know why? They could sell it on the side of the road and build a store, because we have what we call clientele. Clientele means we have tourists coming in our community because we have the traction. And that's what it's all about. If you ask government, they have any plan, they can't plan like that. But trust me, I have a plan, and I am working on my plan for my community. Because I see the poverty, I see the pain, I see high unemployment. I see the people come to me every day People come to me every day. I have to assist people every day. All right? I had a singing bishop on the show a few weeks ago, and he was talking about all the charity work he does. I didn't say nothing, but I do the same thing, just like Bishop. I get the same pasteurizing, just like Bishop, but it was just Bishop time. But I'm going to do something better. That food distribution I've been doing for 19 months, if we could create small businesses in certain sections of the communities that are close to Bay Creek, we won't need to be feeding people for 19 months. We won't need a feed program because people could be able to feed themselves as long as they could be beneficial over tourist flux that only stay on Bay Creek. Okay, when it comes to safety, safety is number one priority. And I can tell you this, I've been having guests coming to the Grand Sound community for over 15 years. And we never had one incident. You know why? Because when they see tourists in the community, everyone says they come to Valentino Brown Scrooge. And they know me. I always doing the best I can to make things happen for just about everyone who lives in the community that I reside in. Everyone knows me. Sports program, feeding program, getting the light turned on, trying to find work for you. All this. I just like a CB Moss. I just don't like to talk about it. But I have major projects that I've been involved in, like the Dr. King, like the Overlay Initiative, which is the Urban Design Lab. You know, local government, but working with IDB Bank. I've been working years. Years. And I feel this is the way on how we can make change in our community. 50 years ago, the Grandstown community was a vibrant community. As a young boy, the streets used to be littered with coins. What do I mean, coins? You could walk through anywhere, through Lewis Street, Hay Street, and Taylor Street, and people never used to pick up money when I was a little boy. $5, $10, quarters, 10 cents was littered the streets, Lewis Street, Hay Street, and Taylor Street. Used to be littered because we had an influx of tourists coming to our community. The hotel, the France Hotel, which is now broken down, that was one of the first hotels. And we used to have tourists staying in Grandstown. And that's how we used to get the latest technology, the Atari. We had the latest phones and color TV. When color TV wasn't even in the Bahamas, we had those stuff. Because when the guests came in the Francis Hotel, Francis Hotel was owned by the Francis, Carlton Francis. His brother is the Francis, which is Wola, the leader of the Saxon. Wola, father, owned the Francis Hotel. And that's how we started the latest technology, because when the tourists were going back on the cruise ship, they spent about a week, 3 days in the hotel, and we would get to know them, because I live right in the back of Francis Hotel. I used to jump the wall and carry them to the stores, and et cetera. And I only used to have American money in my pocket. And they would say, well, you could have the TV, you could have the Atari, you could have the, you know. So we started the latest. So I just wanted the Bahamas to know that. So we have our own Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It's like, where you see the Prime Minister went and presented that picture. That is a picture. When you see that, that is Dr. Rita Pratt's work. Because she is the one who explained the story, how it happened here in the country. So you see, a lesson. I've been blessed. You know, I've been blessed from God. You know, he gave me and he put me in some peculiar position where I could help my brothers and sisters. And before I pass away, I want to make sure that I leave the community a little better. I could see some hundredaires and some thousandaires walking around the community, and some could be successful and becoming millionaires. And I could see them walking with their kids and married and happy and not begging for dollar. Or you get egg, or you get some sugar, or you get some drinking water, and et cetera. You know, that's all of you. That's all we're hearing now. You're all sharing someone needs something. You know, so I want to take away that and use our natural resources, and that's the tourism industry, and then build up a tourism attraction area in the community. So we have stops. My restaurant would be a stop. The local bars would be a stop. If we get to build the Scrum Market And we got some other little stores set up in that vicinity. And we're going to have security. We have Urban Renewal, which is right there. And they have officers on duty. But most importantly, I have a partnership with the Royal Bahamas Police Force when it comes to community policing. So that's why community policing is so important now, and that's why I've been working on community policing, because when it's time for an influx of the tourists, I want to make sure I have a relationship with the police and let them know this is what we're going to do and how we're going to work together to make this happen. So when it comes to safety, you have to also have the Royal Bahamas Police Force involved. So this is planned out. So I'm just going to keep on working, and then I hope the government, if they feel, you know, like assisting, but they should, because they're getting the glory of Dr. Rita Pratt's work. You know, that's Dr. Rita Pratt's work, people. She's deceased now, and I'm not going to let no one take away something that she said is going to be beneficial to me, beneficial to the country, and beneficial, to the world. So I hope you had a wonderful time with that part of the show. We got four more minutes. I want to say thanks to my producer. Wally does a tremendous job in studios. And where I'd be without these guys? You know, Wally's been with me day one. You know, for Mike Hamlin, I couldn't even speak good, proper English on the show. I was kind of raw. I got better as the years goes, you know, and I want to thank God in radio for giving me the opportunity. I remind those guys out there, you can make something of your life. I was a top gangster in this country, you know. I know all the top cops in the country. I was a drug dealer in this country. I've been a drug dealer for, after being a gangster, I become a drug dealer. But then my mind changed. You know, don't let no obstacles slow you down. Just keep on trying. You know, change from your wicked ways. Change your mindset. You never know what you can accomplish. All right? Look at me, for example. I never knew I would have been in Garden Radio 969, talking to the world, talking to Bahamian people, coming up with great creative, historical, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King, coming up with great projects like the Overland Initiative, which is the Urban Design Lab, talking about local government, helping with local government, you know, working with Sir Lyndon Pinden, then working with Perry Glasson Christie, then working with Tommy Turncrest and the Free National Movement, working with the IDB Bank, working with the Office of the Prime Minister, working with the Ministry of National Security, all these things, you know, it's possible. And that's when I said I want to contribute and help my brothers and sisters who are committing crime, find a way I can help my people that reside in my community, in my country. So I want to encourage guys out there, get away from your wicked ways. Stop thinking wicked about your neighbors. Stop talking with people and focus on yourself. Focus on yourself and you never know what you could accomplish. You know? Be a brother's keeper, you know? So that's the music. So I want to say to everyone, drive safe. I don't know if it's still raining outside, but it looked like it's flooded outside. So please drive safe. Watch persons who are walking on the side of the road so you don't wet them, you know. And thank you for listening. Thank you, God in Radio 96.9, for having me on. And we'll see you next week on Inside the Inner City. Have a wonderful night. You were mine. Oh, I was feeling so good, 'cause you loved me up this whole neighborhood. But now that you're gone, you know the sun don't shine from the city hall to the county line. And that's why I said ain't no love in the heart of the city, ain't no love in the heart of town.